Welcome and thank you for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the January 11th, 2026 service at Plymouth, Baptism of the Lord Sunday. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank.
Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars, shakes the wilderness, and reveals God's glory.
And His name, God, shows no partiality, but welcomes all who seek peace and do what is right.
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord blesses the people with strength and peace.
Next is the hymn, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. Next is the hymn, There's a Sweet, Sweet Spirit.
Spread.
Next is the hymn, He is Lord.
The first scripture reading is Psalm 29. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders the Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Sirion like a wild young ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all say glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Next is the hymn, Fairest Lord Jesus.
And I'm so glad that Marilyn made sure that we stood up during that, just to give us a break to stretch those legs, because I may go long today. I may start over today. We turn to the book of Acts. And on this baptism Sunday, read from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. And to understand this passage better, let me set the stage. Cornelius is a devout Gentile centurion, receiving a vision from God affirming his faithfulness and instructing him to summon the Apostle Peter. And at the same time, Peter receives a vision teaching him that God has made clean all that was once considered unclean. Guided by the Spirit, Peter goes to Cornelius' house and realizes that God shows no partiality, welcoming even non-Jews, Gentiles, to hear and receive God's word. We begin at verse 34. Then Peter, speaking to them, Cornelius and his household, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every people, anyone who fears God and acts gently is acceptable to the Lord. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee and after the baptism that John had announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised Jesus on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all people, but to those who were chosen by God as witnesses, those who ate and drank with him after Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus Christ commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." This is the word of the Lord. On baptism of the Lord Sunday, we usually point to the Jordan River. And in that Jordan River, it was John the Baptizer who was baptizing Jesus. And while Jesus was being baptized, the heavens opened. And yet, instead of standing at the riverbank, we find ourselves in someone else's house. Peter is standing in the home of Cornelius, a Gentile who appears here in Acts, and we don't see much more of him throughout the New Testament. Cornelius is an outsider, someone who Peter was raised as a good Jew to avoid. And what happens here reshapes everything the church thought it knew about baptism, about belonging, and about God's grace. Peter begins with a confession, not about sin, but about God. "I truly understand that God shows no partiality." That sentence right there is a turning point of the very early church. And something we can learn from that passage right there is that God's grace is wider than we expect. Notice I carefully didn't hit the projector. I'd have probably knocked off its stand and put out the candle of the sink. Well, maybe it ignited the Bible, but never mind. I'll leave that be. God's grace is wider than we expect. Peter didn't arrive at Cornelius' house because he was open-minded. He didn't arrive there because he was courageous. He arrived there because God drove him there through visions, through interruptions, and the persistent work of the Holy Spirit. And for reference, look back into the beginning of chapter 10 and see what God is about, as God is at work in Cornelius and God is at work in the Apostle Peter. So he arrives at the house, and standing there, Peter realizes something unsettling and also freeing. God has already been at work before the church arrived. And this is one of our key baptismal truths. Baptism is not our declaration about who God is. It's God's declaration about us. We are pursued. We are named. We are claimed. We are washed in God's cleansing power. Before we believe correctly, before we behave properly, before we belong comfortably, God claims us. And this is the gospel that crosses lines. And it's true for Cornelius. It's true for the Gentiles, any non-Jew, by the way, that includes us. And that's true for us. God's grace is wider than we expect. Baptism changes how we see people. Peter, in his preaching to Cornelius and his household, he retells the story of Jesus, his baptism by John, his ministry, his death, and his resurrection. And then while he's speaking, something astonishingly happens. While Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word, Cornelius and his household, Gentiles, all of them. So Peter doesn't finish the sermon. And that says something to us preachers. Get out of the way. Peter doesn't finish his sermon. There's no altar call. There's no instructional class. There's no conditions met. God interrupts the sermon that Peter is preaching. And you know what? God shouldn't do that because Peter will start over. Oh, wait, that's my tendency. Whoops, whoops, whoops. But I'm Peter too. Never mind. The Spirit falls on people Peter once believed were outside God's promise, outside of the reach of God's love. Baptism, then, is not just a personal comfort, just for you and I to feel better. It's a reorientation of our vision. This is a gospel that crosses lines. If God shows no partiality, the church cannot either. If God pours the Holy Spirit out freely, we cannot resist grace. If God welcomes first, we must learn to catch up. We must practice our welcome better, more often, deeper, wider. So here in this passage, God's grace is wider than we expect. And baptism changes how we see people. As well as that, baptism sends us into a wider world. At Jesus' baptism, God's voice declares, "You are my beloved." In Acts chapter 10, God declares that same belonging without any distinction. So baptism is not the end of the journey. It is the beginning of a life that is shaped by God's mercy. Peter arrives thinking that he's the one bringing God to Cornelius. And he leaves that household knowing that God has already been there. God had arrived and was at work already. And that's the calling of the baptized church. Not where we control God, where God goes and where God comes, but instead recognizing where God is already at work. This is the gospel that crosses every line. In 1947, Jackie Robinson, he was the first black player to enter Major League Baseball. He did it with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And while as a black man on a white team in a white baseball league, the abuse that he got was relentless. The fans jeered at him, threw things at him, spit at him. Opposing players threatened him, and even teammates were unsure of how to respond. During one game in Cincinnati, the insults grew especially cruel. Robinson stood alone on first base, absorbing all of it in silence. And then it was the shortstop, Pee Wee Reeves, a white Southerner, who walked over to first base and Jackie Robinson and put his arm around him and stood there in front of the crowd. He didn't say anything. He didn't make a speech. He simply stood there. The effect of that arm around Jackie Robinson, the stadium quieted. And in those moments, something shifted. It was years later that Jackie Robinson said that that moment right there probably saved his career. And this moment in baseball history mirrors Acts chapter 10 in several key ways. Pee Wee Reese, the shortstop, he didn't fix the system. He crossed boundaries. He didn't wait to be approved. He acted before permission. He didn't argue theology. He embodied belonging. And that belonging from one white baseball player to a black baseball player, he said, he's one of us. He's on the team. This is our team together. He embodied belonging. So what are we to do with this passage? Acts chapter 10 does not resolve every question the church in modern times wrestled with. It doesn't ask us to pretend that those questions we wrestle with don't exist. What it does ask of us is that something deeper, about something deeper and demanding. It asks us whether we are willing to pay attention where God's Spirit is present in people, the people that we once kept at a distance. For the church today, it matters as we think about our LGBTQI+ culture, community. They are siblings in Christ. They are people who pray. They're people who serve. They're people who love Jesus and also bear fruit of God's Spirit. I could add as well the immigrant families who have come to plant their lives here in the U.S. and however they've come in whatever status they are in trying to become U.S. citizens, we are being challenged on how we reach out to them, whether we keep them at a distance or draw them in to our welcome. Acts chapter 10 does not ask us to ignore Scripture or even to rush past discernment, but it asks us to take seriously the evidence of God's grace in real lives and to ask whether withholding welcome is faithful when God has already poured out the Spirit to them. So like Peter, we may discover that faithfulness sometimes means letting God widen our understanding of who belongs at the table. That's what Peter learns in Cornelius' house. God doesn't wait until the church is comfortable. God moves forward and toward the outsider first. So in baptism on the Lord's Sunday, the baptism of the Lord on this Sunday, We remember that God's grace is wider than our boundaries, and God's Spirit moves ahead of our understanding, and God's baptism claims us and sends us. And sometimes, thank God, God's Spirit crosses every line while we are still speaking. Amen.
Next is the hymn, "I Was There to Hear Your Morning Cry." Next is the hymn, "In Christ There Is No East or West."
You have known me to be a person, a minister of many words, and so I send you with these words. My friends, go in peace. Let's sing.